call this meeting of the Higher Education Finance and Policy Committee to order. Today is March 31st. It is 1:25. Members, today we have in front of us Senate File 3510. I will move Senate File 3510 to be before us. We do have a delete all amendment. It is the A3. Senator Jasinski, would you move the A3 delete all amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move the A3 amendment.
Very good, thank you. Members, we will go to our staff to go through the changes that are in the A3 amendment. That'll be our vote at the end, yeah, exactly. And I believe all the other amendments will be an amendment to this amendment and we'll act on it at the end of committee, yep. Ms. Grunewald, will you go through the financials of the bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair and members, I'll be working off of the spreadsheet in your packets titled Senate File 3510 DE Amendment. And I'll be looking at columns D and E, which show the changes of this amendment. So starting with the Office of Higher Education on line 7, the underrepresented student teacher grants have an increase of $250,000 in fiscal year 23 and then an ongoing amount of $125,000 each year in the tails. And then going down to line 16, the Minnesota Independent College and Community appropriation is increased by $500,000 in fiscal year 23 and $250,000 per year in the tails. On line, I just noticed that the lines on the left column are a little bit messed up, so bear with me there. Underneath the Minnesota Independent College Community, the student pursuing law enforcement degree grants shows up, and that is a new appropriation with funding of $3.7 million in fiscal year 23 and then an ongoing amount of $3.66 million each year in the tails. And then next is the Youth Skills Path Program, which is also a new program with $500,000 of funding in fiscal year 23 and $500,000 ongoing each year. And then the Learn to Earn Coalition has a one-time funding of $1 million in fiscal year 23, and that brings the Office of Higher Education's total to about $6 million increase in fiscal year 22-23 and an overall $9 million increase in the tails. Moving on to Minnesota State on lines 20 through 23. On line 20, the DE increases Minnesota State's O&M, operation and maintenance appropriation, by $673,000 one time. And then line 22 shows an increase to the workforce development scholarships of $10 million in fiscal year 23 and $5 million ongoing each year thereafter. So the total increase for Minnesota State would be about $10.7 million in fiscal year 23 and $10 million overall in the tails. So then moving on to University of Minnesota, line 28 shows an increase of $2 million to the Natural Resources Research Institute, and that's a one-time increase. And then line 29 shows appropriation to the University of Minnesota Public Safety Initiative with $454,000 in fiscal year 23 and an ongoing amount of $2.39 million each year thereafter. And that, I believe, supports the FTE requests that the U had and new security officers and equipment. So the overall for University of Minnesota in fiscal year 23 is $2.45 million. And then ongoing overall in the tails is $4.78 million. So overall for the for this bill, the fiscal year 23 increase is about $19.1 million, and then in the tails is a $23.86 million, with an overall total of $43 million in both bienniums. And Mr. Chair, I can move it over to Ms. White.
All right. Can we get you quickly, it was a request from Chair Tomasoni, could it be shared on the screen for a little while?
Yeah, absolutely,
so people can see those
Chair.
Numbers as well. And I guess maybe those numbers could be left on the screen while Ms. White goes through the policy so people can kind of see that who are online.
One moment, Mr. Chair. Yeah. Take a second to pull it up. Okay, Mr. Chair, I believe it should be shared now. I can zoom in a little bit.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, thank you. We'll be able to, that way members online can kind of look that over a little bit. Ms. White, if you would like to explain the policy.
Mr. Chair and members, Article 2 of the DE contains the higher education policy. Sections 1 and 3 relate to the new Skills Path program. Section 1, this is a program done in coordination with the Department of Education. Section 1 establishes the program in the Department of Education statutes. And Section 3 requires the Commissioner of Higher Education to award grants up to $50,000 to up to 10 secondary schools annually for the Skills Path program. Section 2, and that was a Senator Coleman bill, Senate File 3818. Section 2 is a Senator Eichhorn bill, Senate File 2965. It's a new section establishing a grant program for students pursuing law enforcement, and it provides a $3,000 annual grant. Section 4 is a Senator Kiffmeyer bill that we heard on Tuesday, Senate File 3846. Requires the governor's consideration in making appointments to the Board of Trustees of the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. Section 5, 6, and 11 are from Senator Putnam, Senate File 3001. Section 5 requires colleges and universities to determine whether an individual's performance on a standardized test exempts the individual from developmental courses. Section 6 prohibits a college or university from determining if an individual is placed in a developmental course based solely on the testing process. And Section 11 from that bill is a revisor instruction to change the term remedial to developmental. Section 7, 8, and 9 amend the Workforce Development Scholarship. This Section 7 is Senator Jasinski, Senate File 2964. Requires the annual scholarship award for law enforcement students to be $5,000. Section 8 is a Senator Tomasoni, Senate File 37818, and Senator Jasinski 2964. Expands the programs of study under the Workforce Development Scholarship Program to include construction and law enforcement. Section 9, Senator Jasinski 2964, caps the lifetime limit for law for students in law enforcement at $15,000. Section 10 modifies the permanent university fund by doubling the amount credited to the mineral research account for the Natural Resources Research Institute, and also modifies the PUF fund, allowing more than one program to receive funding to support workforce development and collaboration benefiting regional academics, industry, and natural resources in the Iron Range. It also increases the maximum scholarship amount and clarifies that the scholarships are only for Minnesota students. That's Senator Rarick, Senate File 4154. And the last section repeals the Candidate Advisory Council. This again was in Senator Kiffmeyer's bill that we heard on Tuesday, Senate File 3846.
Thank you very much for that rundown. I believe we can unshare the screen. Ms. Grunewald, and I believe we will move to our testifiers at this point. First up is Kate Peruschek, Assistant Commissioner with Department of Labor and Industry.
Good Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I appreciate the opportunity to testify today on Senate File 3510 as amended. My name is Kate Peruschek, and I'm an Assistant Commissioner at the Department of Labor and Industry. First, I would like to share our disappointment that the governor's recommendation to expand the Office of Higher Education's dual training grant program and add childcare and transportation as eligible industries was not included in the bill. The Department of Labor and Industry currently supports this employer-led dual training model by developing competency standards and hosting industry forums in the industries of advanced manufacturing, agriculture, healthcare, and IT. Dual training pipeline helps employers address their workforce challenges and recruit and retain skilled employees by pairing on-the-job training with related instruction. We urge the committee to reconsider this proposal. Second, the department would like to comment on the Skills Path program in Senate File 3510. We commend Senator Coleman for her interest in improving pathways for high school students to careers and skilled work. As the agency that oversees the Youth Skills Training Program, Registered Apprenticeship, and leads Dual Training Pipeline, we agree that engaging young people through career exposure, career readiness, and where appropriate, employment-based training are important to informing career path decisions. The department has significant concerns with employing young people in hazardous occupations and alternatively supports safe training opportunities where student learning and career exposure rather than production is the focus. Skills path programs would be subject to the child labor exemption and approval process currently in place for youth skills training programs at Labor and Industry. We assume we would receive child labor exemption requests for skills path programs that involve hazardous occupations defined in the bill. And we estimate we would see an increase in the number of youth skills training program employer reviews and approvals due to interest in the skills path program. This approval process for employment-based training for student learners is critical because child safety is of utmost importance. Training and work should not put children at risk. Finally, we believe rather than create a new program like Skills Path, that the legislature should consider expanding existing training programs. The governor's recommendation to expand dual training pipeline is one option, as is the department's proposal to expand registered apprenticeship and grow youth skills training. YST has a record of a success in engaging 16 and 17-year-old student learners in eligible industries, and we are proud to recommend a funding increase for this program. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Members, we will get through all of our testifiers before we go to any other comments or questions. Testifiers, please stay close in case we ask you to come back. Next up, we'll have Ms. Amy Wallstein with the Minnesota Business Partnership. Please identify yourself for the record, and you can begin when you're ready.
Thank you, Chair Rarick and members. My name's Amy Wallstein. I'm the Education Policy and Workforce Development Director for the Minnesota Business Partnership. And I just wanted to make a few comments on this bill. Want to thank the committee for including a focus on workforce development pathways in this program or in this bill. We strongly support expansion of the Workforce Development Scholarship Program. We also support the Skills Path Program that is included in this bill. And one thing that I'll point out kind of about the bill is that the proposal with the Skills Path Program is it's creating a designation and not necessarily a new program. The designation can take into account pretty much any programs that are already existing at the high school level, PSEO, articulated credit with CTE programs, or youth skills training programs like Assistant Commissioner Peruschek mentioned. It's up to the districts to put together a pathway that incorporates the elements of existing programs that are already out there. So I wanted to just make that clarification that it is a designation and not necessarily a new program. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Next up, we have Pat Benner from Ask Me Council 5, an AFL-CIO.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Pat Benner, and I'm a legislative representative with AFSCME Council 5, and I just want to make clear I'm not representing the AFL-CIO during this particular meeting. That's just in my email signature. I'm here today to express our disappointment and our concerns with the size and scope of this omnibus bill. We feel that right now the scope of this bill does not adequately meet the needs of students, staff, or faculty at our public universities, either the University of Minnesota or Minnesota State. In particular, we are hopeful that as this bill moves along through conference committee, that you might include the $5 million annual appropriation for the University of Minnesota to enhance student support services, as well as the $24 million a year annual appropriation to Minnesota State for operations and maintenance. We feel that these appropriations in particular are vital to improving services and just better reflect the state's capacity in this moment with an unprecedented surplus to make investments into our public universities. I'll leave it at that. Thank you so much, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Next up, we have Ms. Nikki Oliver with the Office of Higher Education.
Hi, Mr. Chair and committee members. For the record, my name is Nikki Oliver, Director of Grants and Government Relations for the Office of Higher Education. I apologize because I'm not going to speak. Commissioner Olson will. So if I could pass it off to the commissioner, that'd be great.
Absolutely. Thank you. Commissioner Olson.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. And thank you, Nikki, for the handoff. Appreciate it. For the record, my name is Dennis Olson, and I serve as the commissioner of the Minnesota Office of Higher Education. Mr. Chair, members, thank you for the opportunity to just provide some brief testimony on the Senate File 3510, the Delete Everything Amendment. You know, as been stated already, we see that you're working with a smaller target than what we had all hoped for. And unfortunately, with a small target, we're missing some really good opportunities here to support strong budget recommendations that were proposed by the governor. You know, first and foremost, we really appreciate the attention to an increased appropriation for the underrepresented teacher grants program. But it's obvious we're missing some of the other important recommendations that'll help support and grow our educator workforce. And we unfortunately also miss the opportunity to provide additional financial aid to the students that need resources the most, whether it's through the Minnesota State Grant Program or resources to support students that attend tribal colleges, as well as students that are parents. And I'll just round it out here. You know, I'm not going to speak for our public education systems, but it's unfortunate that we're also missing the opportunity to build additional supports for students who, you know, through desperately needed on-campus resources, as you just heard, as well as support students attending institutions in greater Minnesota, all proposals that were recommended by the governor. And so, you know, Mr. Chair and members, while we're disappointed that less than 1% of the governor's recommended budget is in this bill, we're hopeful that we can continue to work with you in the House in a conference committee and hopefully work to develop a good bill that'll really work for all in the end. So appreciate your partnership, Mr. Chair and members, thus far, and look forward to continuing the partnership as we move through the process. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for your testimony. That is the end of my list. Is there anyone else in the room who would wish to testify? Seeing none, we will move to member comments, questions, and amendments. And we will start with Senator Tomasoni wishes to move the A4 amendment to the amendment. Ms. White, can you go through the A4 amendment for us?
Mr. Chair and members, the A4 amendment actually contains the language from Senate File 980, a Senator Nelson bill that was heard in the Higher Education Committee last session and referred to the Health and Human Services Committee. The language from Senate File 980 was included in the Health and Human Services omnibus bill last session, but it didn't survive conference committee. And what this amendment does is that it expands the authority and scope of the Minnesota Higher Education Facilities Authority by allowing the authority to provide financing to healthcare organizations. The facility is a small agency, and they provide financing for capital construction projects by using tax-exempt revenue bonds. And the authority does not receive any general fund dollars or any legislative appropriations, and its operating funds are paid from fees from the institutions that receive financing services.
Thank you very much. Members, are there any questions on the A4 amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The amendment to the amendment is adopted. Next up, I will move the A12 amendment to the amendment. Members, this is a bill that I had. I apologize, I cannot remember the number off the top of my head which bill this came from. It is the Western Governor's proposal. I was a little disappointed when I saw the fiscal note that was attributed to this bill. We have to work with those numbers though. So what this amendment does is it adopts the policy, but it pushes out the effective date of it so that we will, the agency and the legislature will be able to deal with that in its future going forward. But so it does not become effective immediately, but we would be adopting the policy at this time. So are there any questions on the A12 amendment to the amendment from members? Senator Putnam.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And I want to begin by acknowledging the difficulty of putting a bill together like this under such quick notice and the pressures that everyone faced as they tried to put it together. But I do have a curiosity just in general in terms of some of the amendments that we're addressing today, because I didn't see this bill until 7:48 last night. And these amendments were released around 11:30 today. And so the first question that I'm thinking sort of in the back of my head is, what's changed in that time that an amendment like this would be necessary? But speaking to this amendment specifically, as I've told others who are advocates for it, I actually think that the policy itself is archaic. It doesn't make sense to still require schools to have an actual brick and mortar place in the state. So I completely support that element of the bill, but I do want to go on record registering my concern about the language of competency-based specific education. What this does in effect is it creates a monopoly that focuses on one specific corporation. I find that troubling. I don't think that's our job, to create legislation that only helps one company. If we could open this up a little bit, take that language out, I would be the first person to fly a flag in his behalf. But I do want to be on record with my concerns about that specific element, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Senator Putnam. And I appreciate your comments, and we will, again, continue to work on it. This would be going to a conference committee, and we can address a lot of those concerns as we move forward as well. So any other questions or comments from committee members? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A12 amendment to the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Next, we have the Senator Jasinski would like to move the A13 amendment to the amendment. Senator Jasinski, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I'd like to move the A13 amendment. What this does, the amendment to the amendment, I'm sorry. Back Senate File 2964, which was the law enforcement workforce grants of $15 million. What this amendment would do is, obviously, with that much money available, you have to let people know about it. So what this does is allows $200,000 to be available to administer the program. I want to be clear, this is no more full-time employees, anything like that, or any staff. This is just marketing, radio, print, advertising, things to let people know that these workforce scholarships are available to be used and utilized. So with that, Mr. Chair, if there's any more questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Very good. Members, are there any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A13 amendment to the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Members, are there any other amendments to the amendment that would like to be brought forward? Senator Clausen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of comments before I move an amendment. I think we're all a little bit disappointed, a little bit in shock a little bit about the low target that we've received here, given the budget situation in the state and then also the needs of higher education as we're coming out of a pandemic and other issues that we're facing. So I'm hopeful that through the conference committee that the budget target can be raised. But with that, I would like to move the A5 amendment.
Senator Claussen, excuse me, Senator Claussen, this is drafted as an amendment to the amendment.
I'm sorry, yes, you're
Thank you.
Correct. Right. This is an amendment to the amendment, the A5.
All right, do we have that available to be? Okay, the pages are working on that. So would you like to begin explaining the amendment as it is being passed out, Senator Claussen?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the key components I think that's missing in the bill is any kind of a reference to the Minnesota State Grant Program. I've been on this committee now, this is my 10th year, and I think whenever we've done a budget or a supplemental budget, there's always been a line item that includes the Minnesota State Grant Program in some way or form. And I think during the course of our committee, there were three bills that were actually presented and heard. The governor's bill, which is the A5 amendment to the amendment. Senator Putnam had a bill, and then Senator Tomassoni had a bill. So there were bills referenced to the Minnesota State Grant Program, but in the final bill, there's no reference whatsoever. So the A5 amendment to the amendment is an increase using the governor's recommendation to the Minnesota Grant Program. And I think also, over the years, being a member of this committee and having discussions over the years with other committee members, it was always the feeling that the Minnesota Grant Program, by putting money into that program, we were helping and making the greatest difference for students in the state of Minnesota. So that is my amendment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Senator Claussen. Okay, for those who are online, unfortunately, we, I guess, do not have access to get the amendment posted right now. It has been distributed in a paper copy here, but unfortunately, it's not available at this time to go online. Senator Claussen.
Mr. Chair, I neglected. I would like a roll call on this amendment, please.
Okay, roll call being requested. Roll call will be granted. Members, are there any questions?
Mr. Chair and Senator Claussen, what's the total increase? Without, I don't have my calculator here, but how much more are you asking that's outside the target?
Senator Claussen.
Mr. Chair, Senator Jasinski, I'd like to have Senator Council respond to that, please. Thank you.
Ms. Grunewald.
Mr. Chair and Senator Jasinski, the increase for fiscal year 23 for the state grant is $14,814,000, and then the ongoing amount is $24,252,000 increase per year ongoing. And that shows up on the spreadsheet on line 2. In columns B and C.
Thank you very much, Ms. Grunewald. Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you, Senator Claussen, for bringing that forward. Unfortunately, I'm with our target, what we've been given to work with. I will unfortunately have to vote no on the amendment. Senator Claussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a point of order. We can go beyond our target. You know, that's not something that's keeping us from adopting amendments that may have a fiscal implication. So I just wanted to make that point.
Yep, Senator Claussen, yes, you are correct. We are not limited by that at this point in this committee, but I think we're going to, I for one am going to honor where we're at for our total amount. So are there any other comments or questions?
Mr. Chair.
Nope. Senator Jasinski.
Also just comment, so, and just again, going back to that comment as far as negotiation, I'm assuming the House may have this in their bill, and when we get to conference committee, that'll be one of the negotiating factors that we can do there. So, but again, I need to abide by what our limits are here as well. So, but thank you, Senator Clausen.
Are there any other comments or questions? Seeing none, being roll call was requested. We will take the roll call on the A5 amendment to the amendment.
Senator Rarick.
No.
Senator Clausen.
Aye.
Senator Goggin. Senator Goggin. Senator Jasinski?
No.
Senator Putman?
Aye.
Senator Tomassoni?
Tomassoni votes no.
Senator Goggin? Senator Goggin?
All right. We'll close the roll. Seeing two ayes and three nays, the amendment is not adopted. Are there any other amendments? Senator Putnam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the A6 amendment, please, and I would also like to ask for a roll call.
All right, and again, this is an amendment to the amendment.
Amendment to the amendment.
Just want to make sure it's done right. So thank you. We will, looks like that is ready to be distributed. If you would like to begin explaining the amendment as that is handed out.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So one of the things that I really appreciate about our work this session that's already been mentioned is our deep investment in workforce development, and in particular our work to help with those who are going into law enforcement careers. You know, public safety is incredibly important, not just for our individuals in our towns, but also for people in cities and people in schools. And my daughter is 18, and she's going to go to college next year. Likely on the mean streets of Northfield. And when she's there, one of the things I think about is how safe is she going to be when she's there? We have an opportunity to invest in an infrastructure of public safety at the U. And so, Mr. Chair, members, what this amendment to the amendment does is restores the amount of money that was asked for by the University of Minnesota for various safety procedures and the safety infrastructure of the University of Minnesota.
Thank you, Senator Putnam. Are there any questions or comments from members of the committee? Seeing none, a roll call being requested. Roll call will be granted. We will take the roll on the A6 amendment to the amendment.
Senator Rarick.
No.
Senator Clausen.
Aye.
Senator Goggin.
No.
Senator Jasinski?
No.
Senator Putnam?
Aye.
Senator Tomassoni?
Tomassoni votes no.
There being two ayes and four nays, the amendment is not adopted. Are there any further amendments? Senator Clausen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move the A8 amendment to the amendment.
Very good. Looks like pages are getting that out for us. You can describe the amendment as that is being distributed.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This was a bill, 3424. It was Senator Coran's bill, and it was heard in committee. And it's regarding the addiction medical graduate education fellowship at the Hennepin County Medical Center. And this would support three physicians each year to enroll in an addictive medicine fellowship program for 5 years. And this is, I think, an extremely important bill because we all know that we're dealing with an opioid epidemic in our country. And especially here in Minnesota, where daily, if you pick up a newspaper, it's you're reading about someone, unfortunately, that has lost their life through addiction. And what this bill does, it trains physicians so that we can be more effective in dealing with addictions and helping people. We're looking at over 5 years at 15 additional physicians would be trained on opioid addictions and dealing with people that have this difficulty in their lives. So with that, again, I would like to move this and perhaps, again, if we could have Ms. Grunwald give an overview of the fiscal part of this bill.
Ms. Grunwald.
Mr. Chair and members, the A8 amendment to the amendment adds an appropriation to the Addiction Medicine Graduate Medical Education Fellowship for $1.2 million. And I believe, yep, this is a one-time appropriation.
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Grunwald. Senator Claussen.
Yeah, thank you. Mr. Chair, I would have a roll call on this, please.
Roll call is requested. Roll call will be granted. Are there any comments or questions on the A8 amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, we will take the roll on the A8 amendment to the amendment.
Senator Rarick.
No.
Senator Claussen.
No, this is a cable. Hey, if we don't.
That was not my vote.
Senator Claussen.
Aye.
Senator Goggin.
No.
Senator Jasinski.
No.
Senator Putnam.
Aye.
Senator Tomassoni.
Tomassoni votes no.
There being two ayes and four nays, the amendment is not adopted. Senator Putnam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the A10 amendment, please, and I also ask for a roll call.
Very good. And again, amendment to the amendment.
Amendment to the amendment. Sorry about that.
Senator Putnam moves the A10 amendment to the amendment. Looks like the pages have that. You can begin explaining your amendment as they hand that out.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Another one of the themes of our discussions this session has been the mental health of students as they come out of COVID and they face the trials and tribulations of being a young person these days. One of the things that I learned this session as well was just how underserved our schools are, especially our MnState institutions, when it comes to mental health and guidance counselors. Really what this amendment to the amendment would do is simply provide a very common sense ratio between guidance counselors and the institutions in the Minnesota state. Now, this bill has actually had a hearing in the House, and Representative O'Neill was very helpful with shaping it. In fact, she's the one who suggested its potential fiscal implications for us. So it's something that's got broad bipartisan support, the support of the other body. And not only that, it would do a great deal of good at a time when we need it the most.
Thank you, Senator Putnam. Senator Jasinski?
No, Mr. Chair, and thanks, everybody. Do you know if this is in the governor's supplemental budget request or not?
Senator Putnam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Jasinski, I actually don't know. I'm not entirely sure.
Staff, can you answer? Is this in the governor's?
Ms. Grunwald, can you answer that?
Mr. Chair and members, no, I don't believe it is.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments? Seeing none, roll call was requested on the A10 amendment to the amendment. We will take the roll.
Senator Rarick?
No.
Senator Claussen?
Aye.
Senator Goggin?
No.
Senator Jasinski?
No.
Senator Putnam?
Aye.
Senator Tomassoni?
Tomassoni votes no.
There being two ayes and four nays, the amendment is not adopted. Are there any other comments or amendments? Senator Claussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move A9 amendment to the amendment.
Senator Claussen moves the A9 amendment to the amendment.
I see the pages with that. Again, you can begin explaining the amendment as it being handed out.
And I would ask for a roll call on this.
Roll call requested. Roll call will be granted.
Now, Senator Rarick, you're going to have a difficult time voting no on this because this is your bill. This is an additional allocation to the Teachers of Color bill. This is a bill that we passed previously in previous sessions, and it's been very effective. It's something that we know that we need in the state of Minnesota to get more teachers of colors in the classroom so that they're identifying with more of the students that we're seeing in our diverse population here in Minnesota. And so what I'm asking for is that we do an additional allocation to the program. And again, Ms. Grunwald, if you could explain the fiscal implications, please.
Ms. Grunwald.
Mr. Chair and members, on the A9 to the amendment, lines, we'll begin with line 1.3, just adjust the Office of Higher Education total, which with a total of 9.75 million increase. Line 1.4 increases the underrepresented student teacher grants by 1.25 million and brings it up to a total of 2.5 increase to that appropriation. And then moving down to line 1.9, this increases the aspiring teachers of color pilot program. It increases it by 8.5 million up to a total of 10 million in one-time funding for that pilot program.
Thank you, Ms. Grunewald. Senator Claussen, any more comments?
No, Mr. Chair, I think we're probably ready to vote.
Okay. All right, and I will say, yes, you are correct. This is a very difficult, all these are very difficult to vote no to. So many of the requests that were brought are all worthy, but we are going to, again, these are tough decisions and difficult to say no to so many of these. Unfortunately, today I will be having to. Senator Jasinski, did you have a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to echo your comments. I'm on this bill as well, as you all know. Mm-hmm. I also just had a vote against amendment for the technology for the University of Minnesota. My daughter goes to that college as well, and so I know these things are all important, but I think the chair has been given a target that he has to abide by, and I know he's had difficulties picking and choosing, but he's met the target, and what happens in conference committee when we get to that point, some of these things may land to get approved and some may not, but again, I want to respect Senator Tomasoni's chair position, putting this omnibus bill together and making his amounts that he needs to do for our committee. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Jasinski. I do not see any other comments. We will take the roll on the A9 amendment to the amendment.
Senator Rarick?
No.
Senator Claussen?
Aye.
Senator Goggin?
No.
Senator Jasinski?
No.
Senator Putnam?
Aye.
Senator Tomasoni?
Tomasoni votes no.
2-4. There being 2 ayes and 4 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Are there any other amendments to come before the committee? Senator Claussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move the A7 amendment to the amendment.
Senator Claussen moves the A7 amendment to the amendment. Looks like the pages have that, and you can begin explaining as they pass this one out.
Yeah. The A7 amendment to the amendment was a bill that we heard just earlier this week, I believe. It was Senator Hoffman's bill. And it appoints the Commissioner of the Office of Higher Education to provide some educational technical assistance center for people with disabilities. We have 2 similar bills that are out there. One that we provided funding for Minnesota Independent College and Community, that was one. And then there was another bill that provided grant opportunities for institutions that provided higher education opportunities for people with disabilities. And so this is really one that's inclusive, that provides opportunities for, for people that many times those opportunities are not found. And we would like a roll call on this bill. And I think this is a group of people in our population that have been overlooked, and I think we need to start providing opportunities for them that are really available to many Minnesotans. So thank you, Mr. Chair. And we probably should ask Ms. Grunwald again for an overview.
A roll call was requested. Roll call will be granted. Ms. Grunwald, to the financial impacts.
Mr. Chair and members, A7, amendment to the amendment, adds $1 million in ongoing funding for the inclusive higher education initiative. So part of that funding is $250,000 goes towards establishing the Inclusive Higher Education Technical Assistance Center. And then $750,000 of that $1 million goes towards the Inclusive Higher Education Grant Account. And if you'd like Ms. White to go over the policy details, I can turn it over to her.
Ms. White.
Mr. Chair and members, Section 2 establishes the Inclusive Higher Education Technical Assistance Center. The Commissioner of Higher Education is to contract with the University of Minnesota to establish this center. And then Section 2 provides the Inclusive Higher Education grants in order to fund the institutions that provide this programming.
Thank you very much, Ms. White. And I will, one comment on this one. State government has asked for this one to be within their jurisdiction because it is creating a new body. So I will, again, because of the financial impact and that, be a no vote on this one. Senator Jasinski.
Mr. Chair, also again, want to comment again. I did kind of a rough number of the total amendments that were presented today, about $150 to $160 million more. And that's obviously much higher than what our target is. So again, I will be not being able to vote in favor of the amendment to the amendments.
Very good. Are there any other comments or questions from the committee? Seeing none, we'll take the roll on the A3 amendment to the amendment. A7.
Senator Rarick?
No.
Senator Claussen?
Aye.
Senator Goggin?
No.
Senator Jasinski?
No.
Senator Putnam?
Aye.
Senator Tomassoni?
Tomassoni votes no.
There being two ayes and four nays, the amendment is not adopted. Senator Putnam?
Mr. Chair, I think I'd like to move the A11 amendment to the amendment.
Very good. Senator Putnam moves
and ask for a roll call as well, please, sir.
All right. We said the A11?
A11, sir.
The A11 amendment to the amendment. As that is being handed out, please describe the amendment. And yes, a roll call requested. A roll call will be granted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, obviously, one of the things that we've talked about a great deal this session is also persistence. How can we make it so that people who are in school exploring post-secondary education have the capacity to actually finish their time there and finish their degrees? You know, if you're a sophomore in college or in a technical program somewhere, and you have to choose between buying your books or feeding yourself, it's a tough call. And those challenges end up with people who face those challenges end up with debt but without degrees. What this bill is an extension of the Hunger Free Campus Act that we as a committee passed and made law just last session. Now, I understand and respect Senator Jasinski's reservations. The notion that Greg and I were trying to spend $160 million is a lot. But that's an aggregate. That's not the individual expenses themselves. No one's asking to vote for everything. This one costs $100,000. Members, that's a rounding error to a rounding error. I understand our desire to be parsimonious. And I understand that I'm going to get trouble for using the word parsimonious. But I know no one's cheaper than me, Mr. Chair. This is only $100,000. And think about the changes that it could make
in students' lives, not only in terms of their access to food, but also in terms of their opportunities to develop programs on their campuses. The other sort of policy change in this act is that it lifts the limits that we imposed the first time we went through this. It is simply a good bill. And I would also add, in fact, that it is tripartisan. This bill has enjoyed tripartisan support since it was first introduced last time and does again have tripartisan support at this moment. And there is no greater time for us to show our commitment to that. You know, again, as Senator Jasinski mentioned earlier, these decisions can be made in conference committee, but they are more likely to be made the right way if we stand up now. We've struggled a little bit this session, I think. There have been a number of bills that have been introduced that just haven't gotten heard, unfortunately, for a number of reasons. We've got some time constraints. We've got other variables that are involved. But here's a chance for us to stand up tripartisanly and support something that will help all the students throughout Minnesota. So I do hope that maybe this one, you'll see its benefit, you'll realize its incredibly small price tag, and that you'll be willing to support it.
Thank you, Senator Putnam. Are there any questions or comments from the committee? Seeing none, we will take the roll on the A11 amendment to the amendment.
Senator Rarick.
No.
Senator Claussen.
Aye.
Senator Goggin.
No.
Senator Jasinski.
No.
Senator Putnam.
Aye.
Senator Tomassoni.
Again.
Senator Tomassoni.
Tomassoni votes no.
There being two ayes and four nays, the amendment is not adopted. Are there any other amendments to the amendment to come before the committee? All right, members, are there any questions or comments from the committee before we take our final vote? All right, I will just, I guess, in closing, and before we take the vote, you know, say I know there were some tough decisions, and many people were disappointed to see the number that this committee had to work with. You know, last year we did set the budget, and it was agreed to. It is a little difficult sometimes. We see the great needs that are out there, and we wish we could meet all of them. Senator or Chair Tomassoni worked very hard within what he was given to meet some new demands that we have seen out there, and I'm happy to support him in the bill that he has put together. And I believe do we take a roll call?
There's no request.
There's no request. Okay. So the before us now we have the A3. Amendment as amended.
Mr. Chair, I'll request roll call.
Okay, a roll call requested. Roll call will be granted. I just need to check. So adopting this is not passing it to the next committee. We're adopting it, and then we would have to pass it, correct? Very good. All right. So on the A3 amendment as amended, we will take the roll.
Senator Rarick.
Yes.
Senator Claussen.
Aye.
Senator Goggin.
Aye.
Senator Jasinski.
Aye.
Senator Putnam.
No.
Senator Tomassoni.
Tomassoni votes yes.
5-1.
There being 5 yeses and 1 no, the amendment is adopted. Before we go to our final vote to re-refer, are there any comments members would like to make? Senator Claussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just repeating myself that we have so many good bills that we've heard that aren't included in the omnibus bill, and I'm very hopeful that in conference committee that we can certainly make some changes and that would be good for the students and the faculty and our institutions across the state. We've got some good things in the bill, a lot of workforce provisions, I think, that are very positive. But I think also through these, some of the amendments that you've heard today and some other areas that we can improve on the bill, and I'm hopeful that we'll be able to do that. And the biggest issue is the target that was provided. It's just way too low.
Senator Putnam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to add that I, too, see lots of great things in this bill, and I understand the need to be restricted to the target we were given. I voted no precisely because I didn't see enough attention in the bill towards mental health concerns of our students. I think that that's a pretty big priority, and I just wanted to let you know why I voted that way.
Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to commend Senator Tomasoni on a good bill. Also, as part of that, the workforce development grants for the public safety, I think, is huge. Also, the Learn to Earn, thank you for everyone's your support on that. I think it's going to be a great program if we can get that across the final finish line. It's something that's desperately needed. So with that, again, I will be voting in favor, obviously, today, but I think it's a good bill.
All right. Thank you very much. Seeing no other questions or comments coming forward, Senator Tomasoni.
Can he comment after the vote?
He wants to comment after the vote or before the vote?
Yes, after the vote.
Please. All right, very good. So,
thank
you very much. So Senator Jasinski moves that Senate File 3510 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the Finance. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed no. Bill is passed and referred to Finance. Senator Tomasoni.
Thanks, Mr. Chair and committee members. Thank you for your work this session. I miss being there and holding the gavel. Thanks, Senator Rarick, for pinch hitting for me. Thanks, Laura and Tom, Hannah and Joan. I appreciate everyone's work.
Thank you very much, Chair Tomasoni. We have missed having you here as well. Members, that is all we have on our agenda for today. We are going to recess, but we do have, after we recess, I would ask that if people can stick around and stay online. You do that. We have something from Mr. Doug Carnival here to share with us. So with that, we are adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know this is a bit unusual, but these are unusual times. As many of you know, Senator Tomasoni over the years has serenaded many, many folks at many different gatherings with a song that he made famous called Mac the Knife. Now, he doesn't sing it quite as well as he used to, but a few of us were up there this weekend visiting him, and we decided to see if we could give him a hand singing one more time. So, Tom, roll the film. If you watch closely, you can see he can't talk, but he can still sing.
Hopefully our volume works this time.
Learn from my mistake.
Tom, the pressure's on.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. These are the three paisanos, Magnoli, Carnivale, and Tomasoni. Tomasoni, yes. And we're up here in Duluth, and we just want to do a little dedication. You see, there was a guy named Robert Cossetto who wrote a song a long time ago that is one of our favorites. And Tomasoni here has been made that famous a long time ago. And Tomasoni performs this at many, many functions, and it's kind of his theme song. But unfortunately, he needs a little help these days to sing his song. So we brought a couple of more paisans up here to do a little trio with them, along with Bobby DiBenedetto, who wrote the song. And so, David, are you ready? Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, the shark bites with his teeth, dear. And it shows it pearly white, Such a jackknife has a little bag he did, and he keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites, when it's deep, dear, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, oh, where's old Maggie Heap, dear? So there's never, never a trace of red. Out on the sidewalk, oh, sunny morning, lies a body just losing life. And someone sneaking around the corner. Could that someone be named the knife? There's a tugboat down by the river, don't you know? Where the cement bag just drooping on down. Oh, that cement is there. It's there for the weight, baby. Final get you 10 more Mackies back in town. And I hear about Louie Miller. He disappeared, babe. After going out all his hard-earned cash. And now Maggie spends just like a sailor. Could it be our boys done something rash? Oh, Jimmy Diver. Oh, Suki Tawdry. Miss Lottie and old Lucy Brown. Oh, the life falls over like babe. Not that Maggie's back in town. Oh, Suki Tawdry, look out to Miss Lottie and old Lucy Brown. Oh, the life falls on the right, babe. Not that Maggie. Back in town. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Thomas Lurie. All right.
That's the way we want to remember him.
Thank you for sharing that with us.